And I just want to say how glad I am to be here with you in Hayward. I preached here once 10 years ago when I was an intern minister, and it's lovely to be back and lovely to see so many of you who actually made it here on an hour less sleep. So thank you for being here. So my sermon today is going to invite us into some of the big questions. Who are we? What are we called to do? As we come together in religious community, these are the classic questions. Who are we as individual human beings, each of us trying to make meaning of our lives? And who are we, as Unitarian Universalists in a changing religious landscape in the second decade of a new century? I'm haunted by Jane Hirschfield's poem. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose that great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. I imagine a cabin in the woods. I imagine standing at my kitchen sink among my dishes, looking out the window at that great tree, or being startled out of my deepest reading trance by the tap of the branch tips. As long as I'm in that cabin by the woods, I think the poet's wrong. I don't have to choose. And yet, my life is nothing like that. I don't live in the woods. My house is sometimes so cluttered that the piles of books and the piles of dishes practically run together. The nearest redwood is in an urban park a block away, and I feel lucky to have it that close. Outside my window are city sidewalks, and not too far away, I could trip over people who are hungry. If immensity is tapping at my life, it better tap loud. Is it like that for you here in Hayward? You're not so distant from the urban grid either. Here and anywhere, there are hungry people. There is separation here too, a clutter of causes that might call you out of your cabin. We have a tendency to think we have to choose between that cabin in the woods with its tree growing up so close and engagement in the world, between our inner spiritual lives and our work to improve our communities, between our story or the story of a God in our image who watches over us and going through our days unmoved by a sense of awe for all that life is. And yet, our tradition is teeming with people who refused to make such choices. James Luther Adams, the great Unitarian theologian and ethicist, is one. He brought a sense of immensity to our work to repair the world. Here are his words. The holy thing in life is participation in those processes that give body and form to universal justice. The holy thing. Thomas Starr King, for whom this congregation was named, didn't choose between private spirituality and public work for justice. He defined his ministry as bringing the church out of what he called its serene and comfortable elevation into redeeming contact with the streets, lanes, and cellars of the world. In 1965, the board of the Young Unitarian Universalist Association did not make a choice between work for community and work for justice. It was 50 years ago today that they received Dr. King's call for religious leaders to join him in Selma. the board adjourned its meeting in Boston and reconvened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. At least 200 Unitarian Universalist clergy and laypeople prayed and walked with King in the days that followed. Hundreds of Unitarian Universalists are in Selma today to commemorate those events and to continue the struggle against the disease of racism, which now takes new form in mass incarceration of black men, in race-based police response, and yes, in white silence and white denial. Kay Jorgensen does not choose. Kay is co-founder of the Faithful Fool Street Ministry in San Francisco, where I am a minister today. It is Kay's practice to walk with people who are homeless and struggling, asking always the deeply spiritual question, what holds us separate? What keeps us separated? As we walk the streets, what still connects us? This is what I've learned from Kay. When we work for justice, when we work to improve our communities, when we teach our children in our religious education programs, or when we visit the sick in our own congregations, it is essential to make our reflection as strong as our action. Work for justice, work in the community. If we do it mindfully, tending our relationships and our spirit connects us so powerfully to one another and to the world that our love spills over into worship and celebration. Have you had moments like that in this congregation? When you were gratefully in touch with something larger than yourself, as you worked side by side to do the good your heart calls you to do, whether you call that something larger, God, or immensity, or the power of community itself. I wonder if that sense of something larger is what people are seeking when they walk through that door for the first time. You probably have some kind of informational gathering for newcomers here, yes? Something, yeah? So what do people tell you when they come? I've been in many such gatherings in a number of congregations over the years, and this is what I've heard. I'm looking for community, people say. I'm looking for music or for spirituality, but, they say, and you always know what's coming next, but I don't believe in organized religion. Well, you know what's coming after that too, right? It's a setup. Somebody's sure to say, don't worry, you'll be okay here. We're Unitarian Universalists and we're not that organized. Which is, of course, a lie. But with all good jokes, there's a grain of truth in it. People mean all kinds of things when they say they don't want organized religion. Are they sick to death of war and mayhem in the name of creed? Well, we are too. We reject enforced adherence to a system of belief. And if that's what people mean by organized, well, then it's true, we're not. But if what they mean is they don't like the idea of religion as an institution, well, in that sense, I'm afraid we have to cop to being organized. Because it takes an institution to create church. It takes organization to create worship. And very often, it takes preparation and work together for a common purpose to get to joy. Think of a flash mob. When one person, then another, starts singing a Bach cantata in the public square, it looks spontaneous, right? People stop in their tracks, tears of joy sometimes in their eyes. because something utterly unexpected has broken in on their routine. But just imagine the rehearsals, the organizing it took for that spontaneous-looking moment to happen. So what brought you to your congregation the first time you came here? I went looking for a fellowship in my late 20s. My mother had died at the age of 59, and barely more than a year later, my son was born. Life suddenly was too big for me to hold it all by myself. I needed community, and more than that, I needed religious community, a place where I could sit in the company of others who were also working to make meaning of their lives. Here's another story. Jenny, also in her 20s, found community on the streets at Oscar Grant Plaza, sitting and sleeping over the days and nights of Occupy Oakland. She made new friends alongside those who were helping out in the tent kitchen that was so efficiently feeding hundreds every day. There was something special, she felt, about some of her new friends. Later, after those heady days were over, she missed that feeling of community. One Sunday morning, many months later, on a whim almost, she stepped into one of our local churches, and there she was delighted to find were two of the friends that she'd thought were so special. They hadn't said a word together about religion, but here they all were. I found what I needed when I needed it in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. So did Jenny, in a different time, a different place, and in a changing religious landscape. This is what doesn't change. People build community when they work together for a better world. People need to make meaning of their lives in times of sorrow and in times of joy. Life is our only chance to both grow a soul and repair the world, said a UU minister, Dick Gilbert. Those chances, grow our soul, repair the world, do not come along as an either or. They are woven together like the braided dough on a loaf of challah. The health and growth of our congregations depend on deepening our ties to one another and on walking together to make the world a more just and sustainable place for ourselves, for all children, for seven generations forward. Who are we? What are we called to do? Whatever your personal theology or sense of the divine, you probably mostly all agree with the rabbi that God doesn't bake challah. Now, you're a Unitarian Universalist, so I don't want to say that as an absolute, but I'm guessing that most of you would agree that the creative force has no other hands but ours. What it does to repair the world, we do. Creative force, higher power, God, if there is a God, cannot accomplish that work without these hands, these hearts, these voices, our voices, raised in celebration for the good of life, in lament for its suffering, in protest against structures of inequality. It is up to us. But it's not up to us alone. It's up to us, as we, the gathered community of Unitarian Universalists in your town, Hayward, and every town. And not your congregation alone either, but your congregation as part of the larger religious community you are choosing to join to do your soul growing and your world repairing. What might our religion look like in the 21st century? That we build beloved community within and beyond our walls till we awake from the illusion of separateness and our walls cease to define us. Isaac Luria, the religious genius who lived in the 16th century near the Palestinian town where our Hala story took place, wrote a story that you may have heard. Luria imagined the creation of the world as a pouring out of divine light into holy vessels. But during the pouring out, there was a catastrophe. The vessels shattered, scattering the light all over the world. Repair of the world, tikkun olam, happens when we bring back the light, when we achieve liberation for ourselves and others, when we remove the constraints of racism, poverty, separation, whatever it is that holds us back from being fully human, whatever keeps our individual light from shining. We repair the world when we grow our souls. We repair the world when we join together to help one another shine, the way we do when we sit with one another when we are sick or sad. We repair the world when we come together to worship and to celebrate, when we join our lights together to give body and form to universal justice and create the beloved community. So let it shine, my friends. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.